How you is? I don't know if I came on or not. Sometimes I have trouble hearing the speakers because I'm right in the middle of a dead zone. But that's good for my microphone. It doesn't pick up a lot of interference. I am glad that you're here today. The men of valor will be putting notes in your hands. Confession part 5, and I trust that you are greatly prospering because of this series and that God is opening your eyes to truth from His Word. Say this with me: the Word of God, in my new covenant,
in my mouth, empowers me
to represent Him and do the works He did. His word in my mouth changes my world. Okay, you can sit down now. I see a few of you have already noted the bucket down front and have brought an offering. If you appreciate Brother Richard and Sister Michelle, please, you say, well, the pastoral covering team gave me a check for $300. You and I both know $300 won't cover their motel. And the thing is, they can't deposit the check till they get back because they're leaving right after church. So grab your bookmark or some cash and toss it in so they've got some folding fund money. I mean, you get that close to Corpus, you got to go over to the two-story Whataburger. Corpus Christi is home of Whataburger. And I don't know why I'm roaring up here, but somebody's microphone got left on. Did you enjoy the song they sang during the offertory? Yes. That's one of the things that, since Brother Richard and Sister Michelle took on the responsibility of worship leaders and praise team, one night I heard Dorothy Malone with the Detroit Mass Choir. And they were singing that song, and I came back and I said, Dorothy was getting it on with the Detroit Mass Choir, and I like this. And within a few days, they had it added to the repertoire, and they've had to put up with that for years. I'll go someplace and hear something and bring it back and say, yeah. And they have always striven to make sure that those songs were sung, because after all, I am pastor and I sign their check. No, I don't, most of the time, occasionally. Our anointed Redeemer, before He went to the cross, promised His followers, hopefully that's you and me, He said to His followers, and He, the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth means He is the Spirit of this Word. And He hearkens, as angels do, to the voice of God's Word. In creation, there was a mess. The earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. Why was the earth messed up? Because Lucifer had been kicked out of heaven, and he made a hell of a mess down here. But our Redeemer came, and He said, Bet or, light be. And light was. And He says, oh, it's worse than I thought. And He completely restructured the earth. But it didn't happen with the work of his hands. The Holy Spirit heard what he said and went to work and brought to pass everything he spoke. Yes. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Word. So when you're confessing God's Word, you're putting the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Now, a lot of people think any positive confession is okay. Well, it's better than a negative confession, but it's not what you need. You need to be speaking the "it is written" word from your new covenant. That's where your wealth is, your health, your riches, your strength, your ability. And I've found that the more I speak the new covenant aloud, the more it's working in my life. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to say something he can act on. And doggone it, it's not something he can work on it. I don't know why this always happens to me. He can't work on that. Oh, look at that. The sky is dark. It's going to rain. And my whole day is down the toilet. He can't work on that. But when you wake up and you say, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." He starts bringing things your way that cause rejoicing. He knows how to find your mailbox and make sure there's something in it that'll bless your life. The Word of God teaches us that it is God who blesses you with success. Pastor, how does he do that? I speak aloud his promises. It is written, "I am the blessed of the Lord. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." Now the Holy Spirit goes to work on that. Yes. I decree, "My God supplies all of my need according to the living standard of heaven." And the Holy Spirit starts finding ways to bring wealth to you. Channels you haven't blocked yet with your mouth. Sometimes you have to look hard to find a channel you hadn't blocked, but he'll find them. And when you decree, "With his stripes I was healed and made whole," the Holy Spirit is working on your physical man. Keep the word of the new covenant in your mouth, and it will enrich your future and improve your present. The Lord your God will bless you in all you produce. God expects you to do something, not get a hammock set in the backyard and say, "Bring it to me, Lord." A minister friend of mine a few years ago said, someone said to him one day, they said, "You are the luckiest man I know." And he said, "I found that the harder I work, the luckier I get." God wants to bless what you set your hands to. In fact, he said, "Everything you set your hand to will prosper." And I've learned to trust God in that. And I've set my hand to some things, and it didn't look like there was any way it could prosper. But it did. And I rejoiced in God's work and labor and provision on my behalf. My God continually blesses me. Day and night, weekends and Thursdays, God is at work blessing me, bringing into my life things that my heart desires. And there are times that something came into my life and I'm looking at it and God would say, "Remember when? You said I'd love to have that someday. It's today." God doesn't forget anything that your heart reaches out towards. And when your heart reaches out to something, mark it in your spirit. "I have an appointment with that thing. It's coming to me. It's en route. Because God knows I want it." I, the Lord your God, will bless you in all you produce and in all the works of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. Not somewhat, not a little bit, but altogether joyful. Your daddy wants you to enjoy life. Your daddy loves you so much that he gave it all on your behalf before you even knew he was out there. He had already given it so that you could one day walk into it and be eternally changed by it. It is the Father's will for his children to walk in blessings and to walk in abundance. Amen. Well, Pastor, I don't have abundance. I'm still living on barely get along street. Well, move your mouth to confessing his promises and watch what God does for you. I have been young and I've been less than young, and I found God is faithful. I've been through hell and back, and he saw to it I didn't smell a smoke. Because every day, in every way, my God does exceeding abundant, above and beyond all that I can ask or comprehend. And that is my daily confession. And once I began to make it, we moved from broke to abundance. And I've never looked back. And I will never be broke another day in my life. The economy could crash tomorrow, and I would have more than enough. Now, if you don't praise God and worship, don't think you could come knocking on my door when your basket runs out. Because I'm believing God for my life. You need to believe God for yours. But I'm telling you what works. Brother Arthur was telling me this morning, back when we were on Runberg, I shared with the congregation one day, I said, you will never get out of living from paycheck to paycheck until you make room for it. I said, go open a bill account, a checking account just for paying bills. And every week when you get your check, first thing you do is peel off God's portion. The second thing you do is you've already determined, I need X number of dollars for rent, X number for utilities, X number for groceries. And every week you take that much and you put it into that account. Then you will never be out and say, well, let me check my bank account. I got $400. I can afford this new dress. You buy the dress and get home, and there's a $398 bill waiting for you. And you go, oh, no, I shouldn't have bought that dress. I shouldn't have bought that. No. You buy everything that you want and desire out of your other account. The bill account is never touched. In fact, you don't even take that checkbook out of the house. Ours stays in a drawer, and it only comes out when it's time to pay bills. And since we started dividing our income, Solomon said, divide your income into seven baskets, yea, into eight. What was he saying? If you put it all in one basket, you'll fudge on that basket. But if you have a separate account set up that every week a portion of your check goes into, then you never touch that except for the bills. And Brother Arthur said he and his wife heard that. They put it to work, and they have been blessed with abundance since. A lot of people are never blessed because they don't make place for it. Open a vacation account. God, bills, me. And you say, well, I only have $10 a week left over to put in there. You'd be surprised after 52 weeks what $10 equals. Use wisdom so that God can bless you. Quit eating your seed. For a lot of people, there's just too much consuming going on. And they don't make a place for the needs of their life. If you know every year you've got a property tax bill coming up, divide that bill by 52 and open an account, and every week put that money in there. You will always have. When Lou and I bought the house we're in right now, as soon as we signed the papers to buy it, we went to the bank and opened up another account. Pastor Jim, how many accounts do you have? I don't even know. I'd have to stop to count them up. But we opened another account at Chase. Because I have accounts at Chase, Wells Fargo, ABC, United Heritage. I like to spread it around. And I opened an account and we started putting money in there. We've already seen over $10,000 since October of extra money that came to us. And when extra money comes, I toss in that account. And we've got over $10,000. Now, it's going to take me more than a few weeks, but I gave myself 2 years to pay off a $500,000 mortgage. And I won't pay on it 30 years. I'll pay it off. Amen. Learn lessons that are practical so you make place for the blessings. Because if you throw everything you got into one basket, that basket will always be short. Program your life for success. And then begin to confess, my daddy does exceeding abundant above. Now that he sees you using your hand diligently, he can bless you. But when you don't, he don't. Make a place for the things you want in your life so God sees you're diligent and he can reward you in that. Pastor Jim, where did an extra $10,000 come from? I don't know. It just started coming in because I made a place for it. I fully believe if I hadn't made a place for it, it wouldn't be coming in. God hates waste. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17, 18, 19. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? What was their disobedience? Well, they made idols to other gods. They did that, but that wasn't it. Well, they got into some fornication. Let's be honest, they had orgies. They just threw it all off and jumped in the fire. But God doesn't say anything about those things. What does he mention? They were disobedient to the word. They wouldn't believe what he told them. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe what he told you? That you'd be blessing the city, blessing the field, blessing the basket, blessing the store. Do you believe that? Yes. Then why aren't you making a place for it? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their great sins and drunkenness. Unbelief. God has exalted His Word even above His name. So when you accept His Word, you're honoring God. God, You said, with His stripes I was healed. Therefore, this lie has to leave my body. I am the healed of the Lord. And this condition will pass because it can't stand against Your Word. Your Word says that You supply all of my need. Therefore, somewhere there's a blessing headed my way to cover this need. The very fact that I have a need lets me know that You already have a blessing for me. Don't go, "Oh God, another bill." No, no, no. Another opportunity to prove His faithfulness. The attitude with which you approach the daily situation of your life will determine the altitude you fly at. I've determined to fly above them. I don't like crashing into trees. The Father wants you to trust His Word. He desires that you lean on His Word for all your needs and desires. We begin to see His plan for His man in Hebrews chapter 2. For this reason, we must pay the most closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. Confession continually keeps His promises before you. A wise person takes their New Testament and begins in Matthew and goes all the way through to Revelation, and they record every blessing where God promised He would do something. And then they begin to, on a regular basis, say those things. That way, when despair drops in your world, and it does to everybody, at some time or another, Bob, you're going to have a crisis. Roy, at some time or another, the bottom's going to fall out, and you're going to swear it's hell. Those are the times you need the Holy Spirit to bring His Word back to your remembrance. But if you've never read it, if you've never made it a part of your confession, how does He bring it back to you if you don't know the promise? But in my life, I'll just tell you, when something happens that is disadvantageous to my welfare or my future, God reminds me of a promise. That's why, laying flat on my back, barely able to move, someone would come into my room and I would say, "Come celebrate the victory with me." And I looked like total disaster. But I celebrated the victory for months. And I walked out of that hospital on the day I told them I would. And I walked out pushing an empty wheelchair, because they said I had to have a wheelchair because it was insurance regulations. And they said, "Just let us push the front door." I said, "You hadn't got enough people in here to put me in that chair. I am walking out of this place and I'll push an empty chair." Well, my wife felt bad about me having an empty chair, so she set her purse in there so I wasn't letting me push her purse out of the hospital. But I was determined. I will walk again. It didn't matter they told me it would be impossible to ever walk again. I was going to walk again. I had my wife bring shoes to the hospital Because when the closet door opened, I could see the shoes, and I'd tell them, I'll be in you soon. I can't even get you on my feet right now, but that don't matter, because I'll be in you soon. Are you letting the promises of God determine your future, or are you just waiting to see what happens, keeping both fingers crossed just somebody said, do you think it helps to cross your fingers? And before I could say anything, somebody else said, well, it doesn't hurt. And I'm like, have you been so long with me and yet you know me not? Crossing and uncrossing my fingers doesn't mean anything. It's the word of truth in my mouth that changes my eternal destiny. You don't want to drift away from the word, so you keep it in your mouth. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, do right or suffer wrong. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Pastor, what is that great salvation? It is written. When sickness arrives at your door, how do you overcome it? It is written. When lack or need knocks at your door, how do you overcome it? It is written. But it isn't enough to say it is written. Then you got to follow it with what the promise says. You can totally turn your world around and go from nothing to everything simply by reminding God of His promise to you and accepting it as truth. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord. You see, that's how you know what the salvation is. God said. How are you going to escape your problem if you forget what God said? But keeping His word in your mouth trains your mind to think positive thoughts, and it allows the Holy Spirit to bring back your remembrance. So Judith's back is against the wall in a situation, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit in her belly says, remember, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And she goes, I'm not alone in this. And he said, remember, I'll supply all your need according to the living standard of heaven. Hey, I've got a way out. My God supplies all of my need. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. According to His own will. Pastor, I keep praying, God, what's your will? Read this. That is His will. And the Holy Spirit is working with it, and God's working with it to bring those promises to pass when you activate them through confessing them. Acting on the word will change your world as you align with His word. You begin to think different. You begin to talk different. You begin to walk different. You begin to wear different. You begin to drive different. I've had a Rolls can hardly. Rolls down one hill and can hardly make it up the next. New cars are better. I remember one old car I had that a spring had came through the seat. And I can't tell you how many of my shirts it ruined because I'd forget about that spring and I'd lean back in the seat. Rip. I sacrificed many shirts on the altar of that bad seat. I'll never have to drive in a bad seat again. My God wants me to drive new. He likes me to have an ass that no man's ever ridden. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a good used car, but there's something about just walking in and buying a new one that nobody else has ever driven. There ain't any of their smells in there. I don't find any of their trash under the seat. I remember I would go buy a used car, and the first thing I had to do was I had to get out the shop vac and the shampoo, and I'd shampoo the interior and clean, get under the seats and find those French fries that was still smelling, that the kids had dropped through the crack in the back seat. So I had to take all the seats out and clean up. I don't have to do that anymore. I opened the door, I sat down, and it smells new. Smells fresh. And if my Lord wanted to ride on something nobody else had ridden on, then it's His will for my life. Now I remember when I had to believe God for a clunker. Not because of God, but because of my faith. God, I can believe you for a $300 car. Because if you don't come through, I can always take care of it. Wasn't faith. Then I started believing God for things I couldn't afford. Daddy, I can't afford this, but I want it. So you'll make a way where there seems to be no way. And He always has. Confession of New Testament truth washes your natural mind from stinking thinking that you've grown up all around. You don't have to pursue stinking thinking. You were born in a group of people called humans who saw to it that your mind was filled with things you couldn't have, things you couldn't be, things you couldn't do. Nobody in our family's ever done that. I did. And because I did, the rest of my family saw that it's possible. My lifestyle has affected my entire family. Except a couple of them just will not put a guard on their mouth. Confession of New Testament truth feeds your spirit man. Sometimes you have trouble getting answers from God because you've starved your spirit man. He needs the Word. Not having read the Bible once, but Thy Word will I keep in my mouth and in my heart. I'll treasure your word. I'll communicate with your word. Confession of New Testament truth redirects your future. Things that would have been in your future are no longer there because you go, my God supplies all of my need. Daily He loads me with blessings. He does exceeding abundant, above and beyond all I can ask or comprehend. You're changing your future. You're making sure the Holy Spirit can bring you success because you prepared the road for it. Confession of New Testament truth empowers your present position. Empowers your present position. I told you that one day the Lord dealt with me about my attitude. And it didn't take me but a minute to reach inside and adjust my attitude. And I began to decree, my God does exceeding abundant, above and beyond all I can ask or comprehend. Well, what was the adjustments you made, Pastor? I quit saying, God, when are you? God, why haven't you? How come I never can? And I started acknowledging that He already has. Daily you bless me with exceeding abundant, above and beyond all I can ask or comprehend. We didn't have any change in employment, any change in anything in the natural, but all of a sudden, money started showing up. And it hadn't stopped showing up. While Brother Arthur and I was talking, he said, God has just been opening channels that I didn't even know existed. And in retirement, he's making more money than he made working for a living. And this past week, he had an appointment with another blessing. And he was sharing with me how God just did exceeding abundant above and beyond. Why? He's a giver. He's a praiser. And he takes God at His word. Some of you will remember just before we left the building on I-35, one Sunday the offering was brought to me by the ushers. And I stopped and I told Brother Arthur, I hear the word promotion. Well, he was planning on retirement. But you see, you don't have to have a job to get promotion. God can promote you in retirement. And what a testimony. Now that I quit working for a living, God is supplying me with more money than I had working for a living. His truth in your mouth changes your world. Now that if you notice the next three pages, I want to make sure you understand confession. Brother Price has been pushing me to hurry up and get the confession manual finished so we can get it published. But these extra pages I give you are actually taken from the new confession book. And I wanted you to understand what confession is and how it works. Confession is the stating of something that is believed to be true, not something that you can actually prove with facts. Because when you start confessing what you believe to be true, what is true in your life will change to align with your confession. I've given you scripture to confirm confession. But I want you to note halfway down the page is Job 22:28. God said to you, Derek Foley, you'll decree a thing and it will be established for you. Well, if you've been decreeing, if it was raining soup, I'd be outside with a fork. He'll bring it to pass. Because that's the desire of your heart. You said so. That's how you see you. But when you begin to decree, there's not enough bills in the world to stop me. Somehow, some way, I will always have more than enough. And I can tell you this. Living on Abundance Avenue is so much better than living on Barry Get Along Street. I abound in overflow because my God does exceeding abundant above and beyond all I can ask or comprehend. If you'll take these next three pages and study them, they will help train you for success. Well, Pastor, I just don't understand how reading God's word and then quoting it's going to change my world. Well, let me explain. God began with Genesis telling you that if God said it, it'll change the world. If God said it, it'll change the universe. When he said, Betor, light be, it changed the universe. And as he said, trees and bushes and shrubs, or as Lady Bird used to say, shrub. Lyndon and I are planting some shrubbery. Always look for plants with less leaves. No, I went down to their ranch and I found out she don't plant nothing. She just points. Her Secret Service agents had a tag for her that I don't think they ever let her know, but you'll pardon the expression, she was the royal bitch. I used to go out shooting with their Secret Service agents, and some of the stories they told. She would take trips overseas, and she would buy a bunch of stuff that should have gone through tax and customs. But she would make the Secret Service carry the suitcases that was in because they couldn't touch a case carried by a Secret Service agent. Customs couldn't touch it. So they had to carry her contraband for her because she didn't want to pay taxes on it. Another day, another chapter. Someone asked me once, they said, Pastor, you know everybody. And I said, well, it sometimes seems like it. But God has blessed me to know some of the finest people in the world. And then he's also blessed me to know some of the worst people in the world, because sometimes he teaches you what to do by another's example, and other times he teaches you what not to do by someone else's example. But you can learn from a drunk in the gutter. But if you begin to take these three pages and study them, they will enlighten you about the blessings that are awaiting you when the words of your mouth confirmed the words of his testimony. I am eternally blessed. And whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. That confession in my mouth has changed things. Then I go to Isaiah 54:17. For me and for you, I decree for the people of the house of the Lord, Fellowship Church, no weapon formed against you will prosper. No tongue rising in judgment. No curse nor incantation, no soulless prayer or fleshly action shall in any way touch you, because whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. Now don't fight me on that. I want you blessed. And if you'll cooperate by getting his word in your mouth, the blessing will come quicker and bigger. Everything begins with the day you made the Yeshua HaMashiach, the inaugural Redeemer of God, Lord of your life. If you haven't, you should. There'll be ministers available to pray with you. Well, Pastor, what's the difference in getting saved and making him Lord of your life? Getting saved, you have a Savior and you have a hope for the future. When you accept him as Lord, you have victory over everything that opposes you. I prefer to live under lordship rather than under a Savior. Because if he's only my Savior, he's done his job and I've got to make it until I meet him. But if he is my Lord, he's involved in every step of my life. Daddy, I don't know how this arose, but I know you have an answer for it already, because you were Lord over it before it came knocking on my door. changes your whole outlook on life. I expect every day to run into blessings, because the scripture says daily he loads me with blessings. I don't like barely having enough. Oh, praise the Lord. The book's balanced this month. I don't want balanced books. I want surplus. I want exceeding, abundant, above and beyond all I can ask or comprehend. And David, I found out the more of his promises in my mouth that I lean on, the more of his blessings I encounter. His word in your mouth is your route to victory. Think the word. Meditate the word. Speak the word. Because it's the word that changes things. Take wisdom from a Roman soldier who said, "Speak the word only, and my servant will live." If I've got a word from God, I've got life. If I've got a word from God, I've got wealth. If I've got a word from God, I've got health. And I have exceeding great and precious promises that pertains to everything that pertains to life and godliness. And by activating these promises, I become a partaker of the divine nature. What does that mean? I'm creating my world by quoting his word. You ain't seen nothing yet. Because the more I learn about plugging into his blessings, the more I want. Because I'm a greedy monster. I want it all. Every blessing he has, every promise he's made. Julie, I want it all in my life now. Now, you may have gotten saved and you're waiting for pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. I have a Lord, and every day I rule with him as a king and a priest. I have divine favor. Everywhere I go in the world, I have favor. And God causes people of influence to cross my path because he promised me my gift would bring me before great men. And God has brought me before some great men and some great women. But I have not scratched the surface of greatness yet. Start with making him Lord of your life so his lordship can transform your life into ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus. Are you getting anything out of this series? Keep his word in your mouth. You'll never want for more than a moment, because as soon as want manifests, your confession wipes it out. Amen. Daddy God, we've delivered your word to your people, a blessed people. I pastor the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. Daily your blessings overtake them. Your hand is upon them for success. Everything they set their hand to prospers, and nothing shall be impossible for them because they believe. Father, I release your blessings, your grace, and your truth upon your people. And I thank you for their limitless future and for all that you have promised them coming to pass now in this time. And the people said, amen. Your love go with God.